In today's episode, we discuss the number one struggle facing men today, what it takes to build something bigger than yourself, and one important lesson that every man should learn when facing adversity. You don't want to miss a minute of this amazing interview, so let's jump right into it.
Welcome to the Better Men Podcast with your host, Justin Kane.
Welcome to the Better Men Podcast, and today I'm excited to share this episode with you. I had the chance to catch up with my good friend Tony Simon today, and boy, did we have such a rich, good discussion that I know will not only encourage you, but also equip you with the tools you need to run the race that you have been called to run. I wasn't sure whether or not I would split this interview into two episodes because of its length, but I decided to keep it one episode so that you could enjoy it to its fullness. Without further ado, here's my conversation with my good friend, Tony Simon. So Tony, I just want to say thank you for being with us today on this Better Men Podcast. And I just want to share a few things with the audience about you that I greatly appreciate about you before we jump into some of the questions that I prepared beforehand for you to answer. First of all, for those listening, I really just want people to know that I consider Tony to be one of my best friends, a great friend. We've been friends for over 20 years. And over that time, I've only grown to respect him more and more, and specifically for the service that he provides to the kingdom of God. And I truly will say to anybody that I know about Tony that he is a tremendous man. He's an awesome man. And I say this with all sincerity. If we had more Tonys in this world, I'm sure God would get a lot more done in the kingdom of God. And if you do know Tony, you know him to be somebody that has said yes to the Lord, long before he even knows exactly what he's getting himself into. And I think it's that attitude and that heart that has led him to do a lot for God and has done a lot for the kingdom of God over the last number of decades. Secondly, I do want to recognize the things that he has accomplished over the course of his life. Of course, he's been happily married. He has two wonderful daughters, but he also has a great ministry that God has given to him in Mexico. And he's planted over 20 churches. Many of those he was doing simultaneously. But most recently, he has planted a new church. And that church was planted during the pandemic, which is a very difficult time to not only consider starting something, but to actually make it happen in the midst of so much uncertainty and so many regulations that are not pro coming together as a church plant. And that church plant, I'm happy to say from a distance, I know it to be thriving and doing so very well. And Tony, I'm sure you're beyond excited at the season that you're partaking of. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've been through many seasons in life, good and bad. And this is definitely a good one that I'm thoroughly enjoying.
It reminds me of a farmer who's been through those seasons where you're like, you plant, and then something destroys the harvest, and you have part of the harvest, but you didn't get the full one. And I feel like you're really experiencing a season where you're partaking of the fullness of a lot of the labor that you've guys put in over the years. So it's pretty exciting on my end to watch you experience that. And I have such great joy knowing that you're enjoying doing what God has called you to do. And I think when you put those two things together, the enjoyment and enjoying what God has called you to do, it's a really fun season to be a part of.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you for being on. And I appreciate you taking the time, not only to share some of the wisdom that God has given to you regarding some of the questions I'm going to ask you, but also time just to encourage the men that are on the other side of these mics that we're using, that there are men that are listening to this. Some are in a place where they just need encouragement. They need a voice to say, you know what, you can do this, or get back up, or we've been there, we got the t-shirt, and we have seen God take us through some difficult times and through some difficult storms. And so I just want to say, I appreciate you taking that time to really encourage the men that are listening to this.
This year, 2022, we moved into this building that we're currently in. We're leasing it and we built it all out. I was kind of building it out, doing the drywall and doing all that stuff. We were renting two buildings at the same time while building this one out. But since we moved into this building, I mean, the church has just gone, you know, to almost 500 people with just within this past year. And it's just exciting. It's fun. It's fun to do ministry when people are showing up and people have fun in church. And we never have put limits on time here. I mean, we have a structure, obviously, with our service, but we have a huge coffee area that people just hang out in and stay and do stuff. And so my kids love where they're at, love the city. They kind of laugh that they can't imagine being anywhere else right now and doing stuff. My oldest daughter actually went back to Topeka. She's doing the Bible school there, but she misses here so much. And, you know, throughout the pandemic, her friends changed, things changed. Friends that were her friends before are not, and some of them aren't even serving the Lord or anything. And my kids are very on fire for God. And so they've just kind of seen stuff and kind of look back and go, they can't believe that they didn't want to come now that they see what God is doing here. And my wife too. I mean, I think both of us, we drive home on Sundays and we just laugh. Yeah. What is happening here. So, you know, and at the same time, yeah, I mean, I think I do it as a stress relief, but I've always kind of been a runner, but I got into running a little bit more seriously in 2012 or 13. And then not just running, you know, I'm a pretty good swimmer. So I thought, well, let me take a stab at doing a triathlon. And I did what's called an Olympic distance. There's four different distances. There's a sprint, an Olympic, a half, and then a full Ironman. And so I thought, well, let me take a stab at this Olympic distance. And it was in San Diego, and I just kind of, I didn't have the right bike. I didn't have the right shoes. I never did an open water ocean swim before. I just signed up and I did it. I just muscled through it. It was hard. And, I think I did everything wrong.
Sure.
And at the end of it, I loved it. And I thought, how can I do more of these? I looked into what are some other things. And then the next distance was a half Ironman. So I was like, well, let me give a stab at that. Again, I knew nothing about nutrition, hydration, anything. And I did a half Ironman years ago, I think maybe it was 2013 that I did that one, and severely dehydrated. My arms were cramping up. I didn't know that you are supposed to drink water and stuff throughout these. I just thought you just go as fast as you can and do it.
That you're supposed to drink water.
Right. And so I just thought, why waste time drinking water when I could be moving and running and so I got severely dehydrated in that one, but I finished it. And once I got some feeling back into my legs and arms, I thought I better look into hydration and kind of see how to do these. And so, you know, the big one is the Ironman, which is a full triathlon. It's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then a full marathon at the end, 26.2 miles. And, you know, that's it's one of the hardest one-day races in the world. And so that was kind of the next step. It was like, well, how can I do that? And so I did my first one in 2015. And then I did one in 2017. And then I just recently did the Ironman California in Sacramento. And, you know, basically that was just this past Sunday. So I've done a number of half Ironmans in between those, and one called Escape from Alcatraz. I swam from Alcatraz Island to San Francisco in freezing cold, shark infested water just to do it. I know that sounds stressful to people, but to me, it is one, it's a challenge, but two, it's a stress relief for me.
Oh, I'm sure
ministry is more stressful to me. And so to kind of get away from ministry and get my mind on something else, I get into this.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you for sharing all that. I do want to highlight a few thoughts that you shared that I think would be important, at least to the men listening. There will be moments in all of our lives that we feel a tug from God, an urging from God to step into a new season of life. And in order to do that, it means you have to step away from something that might be familiar to you, something that you might be successful at doing, and people that you absolutely love and adore, and people that love and adore you. So I think that's a highlight to know that, okay, there are those moments where God steps in, he calls an audible and he says, okay, it's time for something new. But I think another thing I want to highlight is the willingness to hear him out, the willingness to explore, the willingness to say yes, even though not sure exactly what steps lie ahead, what are the instructions that have been given. It's just, I feel and I sense this, Lord, yes, we're willing and we'll take it one step at a time. Another thing I want to highlight is just your willingness to explore it with your wife and to know that God can confirm. He's big enough to be able to confirm to both of you that it's time to take this step. Because I think when that's in harmony and you're able to take that step together, it makes the world of difference. The third thing I want to highlight is to realize the tension that we feel internally. I mean, it's not always peaceful. It's not easy. You're going through the calisthenics in your mind. How do I tell this person? And when do I tell this person? How are they going to respond? And right. What are we going to do when we're going to go there? Where are we supposed to go? We can't go to that city because we don't know anybody. And we go through these, and it's just part of the process, but it is a stressful part of the process of trying to decipher what God and where God is leading us. And ultimately, as you just keep on exploring and taking steps and realizing, this is not it. This is not it. And then you get to a place where you're like, yeah, this is it. The fourth thing I want to highlight is, I think the importance of what you did. You threw a plan on paper. I don't discount that. Even though it didn't come to pass, you took what was in your mind, what was in your heart, and you started to give some life to it, some direction to it. And although that path was completely obliterated and you had to take a different path and a different way to getting there, I think the act of doing that is an act of faith. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, in the word, it says that a man plans his course, but it's the Lord that guides his steps. Absolutely. And so, I mean, there's nothing bad about planning your course. There's not a rebuke to that. Plan your course, but it's the Lord that's going to guide your steps.
Yep.
And so everything may change and will change. I can guarantee it will change.
Totally. And the last thing I wanted to highlight, Tony, is just the importance of doing something that we love. You love to do ministry. You're called to do ministry, but we all need an outlet. We all need a way to let any of that build up over time to release it. And you found yours through running, and you found yours through certain challenges, especially being a man, to be challenged to go, you know what, if I can overcome this, I would feel really good about myself at the age that I'm at. And not only that, it really helps me to get my mind off of what you love to do, what you do every single day. But sometimes we just need that break. So I really wanted to make sure those things were highlighted because that's part of the process. And as I ask you these questions, Tony, I know that you had just shared with us about the running and about the race and the commitment and the dedication that it takes to doing so. Of course, it's a break from the busyness of life, but at the same time, it does require a plan, a schedule, discipline, nutrition. Right. There's a lot that goes into you being able to cross the finish line of an Ironman race and not die.
Right.
So when it comes to these questions, if you can just be open with us and remember who we're talking to men on the other side of this mic that I know will definitely be encouraged by you. And my first question is this to you. And of course, you're in different culture than the one that I'm in, but I think a lot of the same struggles and problems face all men. But if you were to answer the question, what is the greatest challenge you find facing men today? What would you say?
I think insecurity would be just men being insecure or identity. I mean, you can mix those together. One identity, just knowing who you are in Christ, but not knowing makes you insecure. And so I think men, whether we want to admit it or not, we're naturally insecure. We need a buildup of some sort from the outside, whether it's someone saying great job or your boss or somebody. But if we don't get that and we don't hear that at home from our wives, from the friends, peers, whoever, I mean, it's just insecurity, I think is a huge struggle for most men.
Tony, it's a big one. And I think as a result, we put on our masks.
Right. And we go about being false or even living in your own false world.
Yep.
That you make up in your head, in a sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but you make up this world that everything's okay when it's not. And I think, again, our identity comes from Christ. It's one of my life messages that, our identity comes from Christ. We need to be secure in who we are and who God has told us we are and called us to be, but not only called us to be, but he's already told us that. So one of that is just learning that and accepting it. But I think too, just getting people around us that help build you up. And I'm not saying falseness. No. I'm not talking emperor's new clothes where no one wants to tell you the truth. I'm just talking build you up, encouraging. And some of that, I mean, the guys that are married, I think that can come, it should come from our wives. There's a book that me and my wife have read a lot, and we recommend it to people by Jeff and Shanti Feldahan. I'm not sure their last name, but it's one is called For Him Only, and the other one's called For Her Only. And he wrote it for her, and she wrote it for him, if that makes any sense. And so, but one of the things that's in there that he writes to the women is, that you need to help build up your husband. And yep. Then she writes to the men, you need to help build up your wife, but it's in a different sense. Wives need to know that there's some type of security. Wives need to know that they're beautiful. Wives need to know, and maybe a man doesn't need to know he's beautiful or handsome, but he needs to know, like, hey, that's a great table that you built.
I believe in you, right?
Or I believe in you. Yeah, I believe in you. I believe in what you're doing, and you're a great husband. You're a great dad, that's. Me and my wife read that book, and we kind of make that a priority. Again, it's not fake. It's yep. just helping each other. But I think so many men, whether you don't get that in your marriage or you don't get that, from an outside source, again, if you're at a job, if you're in ministry, you're not always going to get that. You're not going to get the boss that just, hey, you're the greatest. And so sometimes you just have to know that you're secure in who you are and what you're doing, and that I guess that type of stuff, because that's, you're not always going to get that.
You're not going to get it. But if you do have good men around you, good friends, 1, 2, 3, or 4 that you can feed off of, I think that makes a big difference just as well. So I think men feed off the energy of those around them, whether the wife is saying, man, I believe you can do this. I mean, we can probably do 100 times more with that little ounce of encouragement.
Right.
If she didn't believe in us. So,
well, I mean, and then there's something too. I mean, I guess comparing this to running and some of the stuff that I did, even what I just did this past Sunday, towards the end, when we're running, it's the end and you're tired. It's been a long day. You're going on 11, 12 hours and you're running through the Capitol Center and there's people cheering you on, and it's a huge help. But there was a portion of the run where there was nobody. We're running along this river. No one is out there. There's no family. There's no friends. It's just you and the river and some other troubled, tired runners. And no one's telling you good job. You're just kind of out there and it's like a desolate land. And, I try to be an encourager to other people that look bad. I mean, some of them look like straight out of a zombie book, and you run past them and go, hey, you got this. You're doing good. Because just those words, just to hear that when you're tired, hey, you got this. It's a huge help. It builds, it helps build up your security and build you up.
Well, I think that's a great point. When you say insecurity, I think we do a lot to cope with it. And I think the thing that holds us back at times is we tend to blame others. We make excuses and we justify why we are the way that we are. But if you can take the responsibility and say, okay, you know what? I'm insecure in this area. Like, this is where I'm lacking. And this is where I need to, for somebody to help me to build that up. And just recently I had a guy speaking in my life. He goes, Justin, you never had someone call that up into your manhood. It's the reason why you're missing it. And I'm like, right. You're absolutely true. No one ever did pull that out of me to help me understand what part of manhood, what part I needed when it comes to that of being a man. And I think if you can find individuals that will encourage you and build you up along the way, you're going to do far more than you ever could achieve on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very well said. I appreciate that answer. The second one that I wanted to ask you is, of course, we just mentioned you've done a number of Ironman races, three of them. And I know it requires a huge commitment, not only your investment of time, but preparation and a lot of forethought into it. What have you learned about yourself going through the process of preparing for a race like that and then also finishing it? Because I'm sure there's a certain level of pride that you must experience as well.
Yeah, I think one of the main things I've learned about myself or just life is anything is possible. you know, good or bad, I guess I could say that. Anything is possible. There was good times and bad times through the whole process. In that I can push myself a lot farther than I think. And, you know, I've always thought of that with, you know, in the Bible. I relate so much stuff, obviously, to the Bible, being a pastor and just a Christian. But, you know, in John 21, there's the miraculous catch of fish. I mean, there's actually a couple of times that this happens. But in John 21, there's a miraculous catch of fish. And it says the nets were filled, but yet they didn't break. And I've just, one day I was reading that and I really felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, Tony, you could be stretched a lot further than you think without breaking. Like we all think, oh, that's my breaking point. I have a breaking point. I won't be able to do this. It's a breaking point. And these nets were filled way beyond their capacity and they never broke. They were stretched way farther than they think. And so I just kind of have based so much stuff in my life off of that. When I think this is my breaking point, I know it's not. Anything is possible. I could go way further than that. And I could do way more and I can handle way more. We say it, we go, I can't handle this. Yes, you can. You can definitely handle it. And you could be stretched way further than you actually think. You know, that I don't think I could do anymore. I don't think I could take this anymore. I've learned, and I think through this and through training, yeah, you could do it. You could go another 2 miles. You could do another 3 miles. Your body will handle. You just ran 21 miles. You could definitely run 5 more miles. You could do it. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned from this. And then relating it with ministry of just like, I don't know if I could handle this. Yeah, you can handle it. It's a season and you'll be able to handle it.
Yeah, I just want to pause and highlight what I'm hearing you say, which I honestly think it's brilliant when it comes to all of us, is it's the mindset. The moment you were persuaded that what you feel might be your breaking point is now no longer your breaking point, it's like the ceiling just went higher.
Right.
And you'll hit another ceiling, of course, at another point in your life. But to realize that the only way that we break these glass ceilings in our life and consistently break them for generations to come is with that mindset, that when you feel like, you know what, I can't do this anymore, or I've hit my breaking point, or I've hit my threshold, that there's something deep down in us that goes, no, I didn't. And it's, which one will you believe? You know? So I think that's a great point about the mindset. And
right. And even that word threshold, I train now. I never really did. I did this past time. I've been, you know, was training for about 9 months. And with my watch, I use a Garmin watch. And so it measures my heart rate. And then with your heart rate, you have a threshold. When I started, my threshold was low, which, you know, you break that threshold and you actually get a badge from Garmin. Garmin sends you an email. You got a badge. You broke your threshold. Well, I constantly broke my threshold. Like, the threshold is like, okay, I can't handle anymore. Well, the next time I went out, I got a new badge because I broke it. And then I broke it. And then towards the end, I was running at such a high heart rate for running, but it was normal for me. It was actually under my threshold, way under my threshold. What I started out 9 months before was my actual, was as high as I could go. It actually became a low threshold for me. And so you constantly break it. Just don't let anybody, it's that whole 4 minute mile principle. Yep. They said it can never be broken. And as soon as it was broken many times after. And then this other guy just won. He did like a marathon in 2 hours and 1 minute or something. Just this incredible time.
Yeah, this incredible feat, achievement.
Yeah.
So I want to just stay real quick on the subject of mindset, because you start a race, you prepared, you've broken these thresholds in practice, you've done your bike riding, you're swimming, you're running, you're like, okay, I'm ready for this race. A lot of guys do that in different areas of life. I'm ready for marriage, I'm ready for kids. Okay, I'm ready for this business that I'm starting. You're going to start this race. You're excited. Like you, I think you and I spoke that morning, you said, man, I'm a bit nervous. And then you begin. And when you begin, you're in the mode, you're in the zone. You go right back into your training mode. I'm sure your body just goes, okay, yeah, this is
right,
the pace that I'm going at. But you shared something before we jumped on this podcast that I thought was very important. There was one variable that was not necessarily calculated, not because you couldn't calculate it. It was just the fact that it's a variable and there was a bunch of wind.
Right.
So that adds to your mindset of going, okay, this is going to be harder than I had imagined.
Right.
And which lends itself to, okay, can I still do this? Should I give up? So take us through, because that's the one thing I think as men, we need to understand. It's great to have a plan, great to be prepared, great to have excitement. You're going to go after it, but there are going to be variables that are going to come. And in your race, it happened to be wind. So help us understand like a mindset that you're going through when you experienced the tailwind turned to a headwind and you're like, okay, this is going to be way harder.
Okay. So yeah, that's a huge thing. So we all make plans, whether it is a job, a marriage, ministry, just life, kids, something. And we all know it doesn't always go as planned. There's unexpected, there's variables, there's things. And so the wind was definitely a variable. It changed not only my race, it changed everybody's race. We just were not expecting a literally 25 mile an hour headwinds at us, and then winds on the side that seemed to come out of nowhere. Wind gusts, I guess they were calling them, 30 mile an hour wind gusts, which I've heard of, I've watched the news. But when you're in it, it's like, man, this is not what I was expecting. And it literally, it changed my entire race. It changed everything that I had prepared for. It all went out the window. And so this was my, I guess, mentality to it, is you got to adapt to it. You just have to.
That's a perfect word. I'm glad you
right.
said
you just adapt to it. It's like, in another way, and I don't know if this is the way to say it on this podcast, but it's the way it was, what happened in my head was embrace the suck. Okay. Yeah. You embrace the suck. This sucks. This is not what I was expecting, but I'm just going to adapt to it because there was nothing that I could do about it.
Absolutely.
Except I signed up for this race and this is what's here. I could complain about it, but it doesn't change the wind. You could go sit in a corner and cry, or you put your head down.
Yep.
I trained for this, not necessarily this variable, but I trained and I'm just going to get through this and I'm going to do it. And I kind of laughed at all the people that were complaining about it.
It disempowered you.
They didn't, you know, it was a loop. So we did 56 miles, 28 was with a tailwind, 28 was with a headwind. And a lot of that headwind, that first headwind, 28 miles, it knocked people out. They handed in their bike and their chip and they didn't keep going because they didn't want. And so my whole thing was like, let's just adapt to it. This is what it is. And so I actually have on my tri suit, 2 Corinthians 4:17.
Yep.
You know, that our present troubles are small and won't last very long. But yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, you know, and they will last forever. And so in my head, I just think there is an end to this. I'll eventually be off the bike. I'll be running. That's probably going to suck too, but this is it. This is what I'm dealing with. There's no perfect race. There's no perfect day. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect job. There's no perfect church. And you just adapt. You have to adapt. It's the people that sit and complain and, you know, just they don't embrace the suck. It's like, you just have to.
That's a great statement. Embrace the suck. I remember I was going through a particular situation of which you're very aware of, and people who loved me said, "Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that." And it's exactly the normal response of people who care for you. But I remember hearing these words in my head, "You must go through this."
Right.
And it gave me everything I needed to push through this process. Like, this is going to be important for me. This is going to be forming for me. And I think that you bring up a great point of embrace the suck, because it's adaptability. And you adapt to what comes your way. And there are guys listening to this that you do. You stop racing. And you start to now what? You have to find an ear that's going to listen to you complain. Like, you have to find somebody else that also stopped racing, because nobody can complain to you while you're running.
Like, right, exactly.
Somebody's going to be like, "Hey, wait, Tony, I want to tell you, this really sucks." You're like, "Dude, I have to keep on going." And you're like, "Okay, you're not the guy I'm going to complain to." And so that's how we adopt this victim mindset. We started surrounding ourselves with other people who are complaining. So on that note, I think, first of all, that simple answer of adaptability, embrace the suck, is going to be very empowering. This podcast is about giving guys tools. Like, here's what I want to point out. You had this tool, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Now, right. I'm sure you've done that in other areas of your life as well, right? Like, you pull out something that reminds you, keep going.
Right. With the triad, I have two verses that I use. One of them is Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you." Because one, I just need peace. When it's my strongest of the three is probably swimming, but it's also the most nerve-wracking to jump into cold, whether it's an ocean swim, a river swim, a lake swim, just open water swimming it's just scary. And so I always have that. God is going to keep me in perfect peace, but it says whose mind is actually stayed on him because he trusts in you. It's not just he keeps in perfect peace anybody. No, he keeps in perfect peace those whose mind are focused and stayed on you. And then I always use 2 Corinthians 4:17, that these present troubles are small and they're not going to last very long, that it will eventually be over. It's a season. It will be over. The swim will eventually be over. I will eventually get out of the water. The bike will eventually be over. The race will eventually be over, whether it takes me 11 hours, whether it takes me 12, 13, whatever. And, you know, and so, you know, I have those, but I also just have them in life in general, because stuff happens and I need peace that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, so, I mean, but one of the things is that acceptance of something, you know, not just adapting. Okay. There's adapting and embracing the suck, but there's the acceptance of it. Like, I have to accept this is your present troubles are small and they're not going to last very long, but they are your present troubles. Yep. Accept them. The whole, I'm just going to speak this and this isn't actually happening. No, it's happening. It is actually happening. There's wind. I could have spoken faith and said like the wind's not happening. No, it was definitely happening. And you accept it. And you accept that this is my present reality, but it's not my future. This is not who I am. This is not always going to be this way. That's I guess the embracing part. But you accept it. And
because most people,
I think there
are
so many guys that they won't accept it. They don't accept it, or they learn something else and you don't want to accept it. And it's just like, sorry, accept it. That's what you're going through right now. But just know that it's not forever. But you can't ignore it. You have to accept it.
I think that's really good. Somebody shared with me a little T and a big T. A little T is a little truth. The truth is, this is your trouble that you're going through. There's no denying it. The big truth T is, it's only going to last for a little while.
Right.
See, talking about our speakers on here.
It's fine. You just went out for a second, but it's fine.
Okay, perfect. So I want to correlate that with this idea of motivation. What drives you to do this? Not just ministry. I think that's a key part, but also drives you to also put yourself through these challenges as well. So what drives Tony Simon?
I guess one, I mean, especially with the running triathlon side and all that, it's just a huge stress reliever for me. It's an escape for me. And that kind of drives me, you know, ministry wise and stuff. What drives me is I'm a church planter. I want to see churches be planted. I want to see people get saved. I experienced God in such a powerful way when I came back to the Lord. I want to see that happen to people. What happened with me? That drives me. It
there's a vision or a picture you have that's bigger than yourself, and you're driven to see potentially that come to pass.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, any of this ministry stuff is way bigger than ourselves. Just going outside of ourselves to help other people, whether it's one or two or three, that's thinking outside of ourselves, and that should drive any of us to just, you know, keep going.
Absolutely.
Your story, our story, just the whole fact to keep going, it encourages somebody else. You may not think it, but someone is encouraged just by the fact that you keep going.
Yeah, and that you keep on striving for something even better. So, two more thoughts, two more questions. The next one is this. When you look at your life, you've probably made your fair share of mistakes, things that you could look back and go, man, I would do that over, or I wish I would have done that. Areas that you feel like you could have been better at or improved. How do you handle that particular feeling of wishing you could have done something differently? Or how did you get back up after you knew, you know what, I screwed up there? What continues to get Tony Simon back up, moving forward, and somehow being able to move on from the past?
One, I think I'm pretty quick to ask for forgiveness. And I'm pretty quick too at recognizing and owning up to something that's my fault. Just owning it, owning your mistake. We want to come up with excuses and say it was other people and say, you did something stupid. Just own up to it. Own up to it. And once you own up to it, it's so much easier to let go. When you own up to it, you ask for forgiveness. I've asked for forgiveness to my wife. I've asked forgiveness to my kids. I've asked forgiveness to the people in the congregation. Just the way I'm built and the way I am, I don't have much of a filter. I say stuff sometimes without thinking. And, I could hurt people's feelings I'm very sarcastic. My sarcasm doesn't go over well with some people. And I'm quick to recognize it and quick to ask for forgiveness. I didn't mean it. It was stupid. And some of the, maybe decisions I made that I shouldn't have go, well, that wasn't the best decision. I should have listened to so-and-so. And I just own up to it. I mean, it's, and once I do, and once I ask for forgiveness, I think I've learned to just, that's it. It's over. Forget about it. And you keep going. I have a coach that I, do online because he's in California. And so I've used him for a few races now, for 2 Ironmans, for the Alcatraz race, and then for the Chicago Marathon. And so I only know him online, and I met him this past race in California, but while I was running, he was on the running course. He wasn't participating, but him and his wife were there just encouraging people. And so like at mile 8 and like at mile 2 and then mile 9, because of how the loop worked, I saw him, I met him for the first time. And so on mile 2, I got up to him, and right away, he's like, Tony. And I stopped. I said, hi. He asked me how I was hydrating. Was I eating? How I was feeling? And I started to say about the wind. I was like, the wind was killer. My bike, this, that, that. And he shut me up. He doesn't even know me. We're just meeting. And he goes, shut up about the bike. It's over with. You're done. Now you're running. Focus on your run.
I love
that. Don't even think about the bike anymore.
Yeah.
And like, but I wanted to talk of, that was, and he was like, shut up about it. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. Now focus on your run. And so I think that's something too, man, when we blow it on something, and once we ask for forgiveness and you own up to it, forget about it. It's over. It's done. You can keep bringing it up, but all it does is bring us down more. And he goes, shut up. Now focus on your run. It's over. And so I started running, and I didn't know I was going to do this podcast with you or anything, but I started running, and I was laughing in my head, and I was actually thinking like, man, that's a great sermon. I'm always thinking of sermons. I was like, that is a great sermon right there. Shut up about it. It's over. Now focus on this. And I learned it from a secular guy who's doesn't, he thinks I'm a priest. He calls me Father Tony. This guy knows nothing about the church or anything. And he taught me a great lesson of just forget about it. You're it's done. And it's over. But I mean, you definitely got to go through step 1 and 2 first of own up to it and ask for forgiveness.
That's really good. Own up to it. Ask for forgiveness. Don't dwell on it. And then shut up and just move on.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. Here's my final thought that or question that I think would be really encouraging to men. You build God's kingdom, you're planting churches. Not everybody is called to go to Mexico and plant churches. Some people are called to build great businesses. Some people are called to build their kids. Some people are called to help others build great ministries and great businesses. I believe everybody listening to this, there's a builder within every man. There's 5 identities that I encourage men through, but one of them is there's a builder in every single man. You either are called to be the Nehemiah that builds the walls, or you're going to help Nehemiah rebuild the walls. As you're building, as you are building God's kingdom, planning churches, I'm sure it can go across the board. What do you look for in other men to build with? how do you know they have what it takes to build something great because of what characteristics?
I don't know exactly how to put this. Again, no filter. I don't want to come off as offensive here, but I don't like lazy people. I'm not a lazy person, and I struggle with laziness. So, you know, as you can probably hear through this podcast, I'm a goer. I get stuff done. I'm a doer. I grew up, my dad's a bricklayer, was a bricklayer, and I grew up doing construction. There was no time, you know, the whole, hey, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Like, it was always this. I remember coming one day around the side of the house. I think my dad was working on the chimney and I was coming around. He asked me to go get something and I started walking and he's like, where are you going? I said, well, you asked me to go get it's in the front. And he goes, look for something back here that needs to go up front. Don't waste your trip. And I was like, oh, you know, and like, I was like, okay, you know, and it was just, I've just learned, I've been around that so long. And so I struggle with lazy people. I look for hard workers. I mean, one, you know, I want people to be called. I want people to love what they're to do, but I want hard workers.
But called and lazy is even more frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, because called and lazy, it equals entitlement. If you put those two together, that's what creates and what has created an entitlement mentality. Well, I'm called to do this, or I'm educated, but I'm lazy. And it's an entitlement mentality. So I personally, again, this is maybe not across the board with everybody, but I look for hard workers. The whole saying, you know, work smarter, not harder, to me is stupid. I do not like that saying. I think it's an excuse to be lazy. I think people, I'm working smarter. And I don't think it is all the time. I think it's an excuse. For me, I like the concept of work smart, work harder and work smarter. Do both. But, you know, just hard workers. Ministry's hard work.
Anything you're building is going to be hard
anything.
Work.
Anything. Yeah, anything. Marriage,
so if you're taking
hard
a shortcut
work.
Or your unwillingness to put in the work, ultimately you're hoping that you get an outcome, but you're saying, don't expect a good outcome because it's not going to happen.
Right. It's not going to magically appear. You got to work at marriage. Marriage is work. Fathering your children, it's hard work. You have to work at it. You have to learn. You have to grow. You have to make mistakes. You have to show up. You have to eat with your kids. You have to go to school meetings, whether you want to or not. It's hard work. And just, you know, again, I struggle with lazy people. So me personally, yep. I look for hard workers, people that keep going, people that go the extra mile.
Because you know that even if they're not fully competent, but they're willing to put the gloves on, put the overalls on, you can work with them.
Totally, totally. And there's a generation coming up of, you know, or is here now of just, there's an entitlement mentality nowadays. There's a, you know, showing up, you know, well, I showed up. Well, that's fine, but you still got to swim and bike and run. You could show up all you want, but there's, you know, well, you know, and some guys, even in their marriage and stuff, well, I'm here. Are you present? Are you?
Yeah, you're simply existing.
Right. Are you?
The mentality of the next generation is, or, you know, I don't want to collectively say it, but in lines of what you're saying, there is a thought out there that says, man, you don't have to work that hard.
Right. And stuff comes to you. And so, yeah, I don't live that way. I don't believe that. I am extremely against it. And so I'm just, you know, nothing like good old fashioned, get your hands dirty work, you know, type thing.
There's one thing that I think I would add: hard work with a great attitude. If somebody
definitely
has an attitude that is pleasing and that is ready to put in the hard work and not complain about it, man, they can go a long way. So if you're listening to this, fellas, as he had mentioned, it could happen in marriage, in parenting, in your friendships, anything that you build in life. Building a great life is going to take hard work. And as he had mentioned, adaptability, flexibility. You don't know the variables that are going to come on. I think another thing that stood out, Tony, that you said is there's going to be a coach, whatever that coach is, somebody that is in your life all the time, but it's a voice that says, shut up and keep on running. Ignore, right. Ignore the wind. It has nothing to do with you. You can't change it. So adapt, shut up and ignore it. And that was another highlight that I heard you say, that somebody was coaching you through that process. So fellas, find those voices.
My coach, actually, he sent me an email the night before and said, hey, looks like there's going to be a wind. Looks like you're going to have a tailwind, and it looks like you're going to have a headwind. Not sure how strong it's going to be. This was an email the night before. And he said, all I could tell you is just embrace the tailwind, go for it, let it get, you know, go as fast as you can. And then this is what he said, smile into the headwind, just smile.
I love that.
What you were talking about right now about attitude, because it was just like, you know, and I think we brought it up here in the podcast about accept the situation. I mean, it was like, there's nothing I can do about it. Might as well smile into the headwind. And I did, man. I had a smile on my face and I kept pedaling going, man.
Tony, this is going to help.
Enjoy the tailwind and smile into the headwind.
Yep. Embrace the stuck and enjoy the tailwind and smile into the headwind. Well, Tony, I just want to say, honestly, thank you. I think what we have been able to accomplish in this hour long time together, which I'm going to break up into a different podcast, we have equipped men with some tools to simply not only encourage them, but also to give them a tool that they could use to actually do something and become a better man. So in a closing thought, somebody on the other end of this mic, you may have a picture of a man that you know in your own personal world. What would you say to encourage them to keep on striving to be a better man?
Yeah, stop excuses. Don't give up. Just keep going. It's only a season. It's eventually going to end. Embrace the season that you're in while you look forward to the next season that you're going to. We complain so much, you know, the whole grass is greener thing. Enjoy where you're at right now. Embrace it while you're getting to your next season. And just believe that the next season's going to be better. And if it's not, suck it up and then next season will come.
Smile into the headwind.
Smile into the headwind, man.
This is my friend, Tony Simon. Thank you so much for your time. Fellas, thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope that you were blessed by the content that we talked about today. Please make sure you share this with anybody that would need this type of encouragement. And please be on the outlook for future podcasts just like this. God bless you. Bye-bye.